Psalm 85, Psalm 85. It's good to be in a church. This is my one joke, okay? So I don't know if I told it the last time I was here, which I think was some years ago. But it's such a blessing to be in a church where there is a variety of ages. Sometimes you look out and it's all gray-haired people, and that's great. You need gray-haired people. They bring a maturity and a stability to a church and a maturity to it, you know. But then you get in some places where it's all kids and it's just, you know, it's crazy. And kids bring excitement to a church. They really do. And it's been exciting. I told my wife the little kids were playing outside. The kids are kids everywhere. They're the same. And it's just, it's a blessing to be in a place where there's a good balance of both young and old. And reminds me of creation. Maybe you're having a hard time figuring out where you are in life right now. And the Lord was in the work of creation, and he created the dog, and he said, okay, now, dog, I've got something for you to do. You're going to sit on the front porch. You're going to bark at everybody that goes by. Just give them fits. Don't let anybody pass without giving them fits. And I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the dog thought, oh, my goodness, 20 years to do that? So he had an idea, and he said, Lord, how about if I do that just for 10? I'll give you back 10. And the Lord was in a good mood. He said, okay, that sounds great. And then he created the monkey, and he said, now, monkey, you're different from the dog. You're going to jump around and do tricks, entertain people, make them laugh. And for that, I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. And the monkey had the same thought the dog did. And he said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. How about if I do what he did? I'll do it for 10 years and give you back 10. Okay. So then he created the cow. And cow, here's what you're going to do. You're going to labor in the sun for 60 years and feed the farmer's family and birth calves and give milk through the heat and the cold and the snow and the rain and through the whole thing. And cow nearly fainted, 60 years of laboring like that. And he thought, well, Lord, how about if I do it twice as long as they? I'll do it for 20 years and give you back 40. And the Lord said, okay, and then he created man. He said, man, you've got it made. You're going to eat, drink, sleep, play, and get married. Eat, drink, sleep, and play, and get married. For that, I'm going to give you a lifespan of 20 years. Boy, the man said, you know, thought to himself, that sounds great. And he had an idea. He said, Lord, thank you for my 20. But how about if I take the 40 that the cow gave you back and the 10 that the monkey and the dog gave you back? That'll give me a lifespan of 80 years. And the Lord said, okay, but remember you asked for it. And that's why for the first 20 years of our life, we eat, drink, sleep, play, and get married. And then for the next 40 years, we labor in the sun to take care of the family. And then the next 10 years, we jump around and do tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And the last 10 years, we sit on the front porch and bark at everybody that goes by. So, preacher, we're in that monkey stage right now, right? I'm looking forward to the dog stage, man. I am looking forward to that stage of life. But anyway, thank you for laughing, even if you've heard it before, all right? If you're able to, let's stand together in honor of God's word. Psalm 85, verse number 4, please. A very familiar passage for us. Now our Bible says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want to speak tonight on the subject, our need for renewal. Our need for renewal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church. What a blessing it's been to my heart, my wife, today, just to be in the presence of these people. Pastor, Mrs. Ross, Lord, what a wonderful place. And I thank you for it. I'm so thankful this church is here. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless it with your grace, your favor, and your mercy, your power and blessing for years to come, the years that you give the church. And then, Lord, would you please help us tonight as we preach your word. I pray, God, that you would fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. Lord, help us to just be helped tonight. Allow us, Lord, to be helped from your word. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 85, 6 is a request for a spiritual revival. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now, you see from the heading that this psalm was written and given to the sons of Korah. They were the singers, at the tabernacle and the temple. Folks, I really appreciate the way y'all sing here, man. Y'all sing the roof off this place. Singing and music is such an important part of our worship services. And this was a special song that was given to them to be sung during their worship of Almighty God back as far as the Old Testament days. Verses 1 through 3, the psalmist, he's thankful. He is rejoicing as he realizes that in the past, God had brought back his people from sin and disobedience. Now, when he talks about the captivity there in verse number one, he's not talking about the Babylonian captivity because it calls it the captivity of Jacob. This is a reference to the nation of Israel and particularly Israel in past days. Understand that captivity does not always mean incarceration. The Bible says in Job chapter 42, verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Now, Job was never carried out of his land into another country. He was never incarcerated. But Job was captive to broken health. He was captive to grief and to sorrow, heartache, misery, and loss. And God turned all of that for Job. The captivity of Jacob is a reference to Israel's spiritual condition that in years past had been full of iniquity and sin. Think of the times of the judges. You're familiar with the book of Judges and the cycle that the children of Israel went through over and over and over again. And they would sin against God and disobey him and raise up idols. And then God's wrath and anger brought oppression and punishment to their life. And the psalmist is thankful that God had forgiven and covered their sin. And God had taken away his wrath and turned from his anger and restored his people. And you get to verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. God's people were in need of God's mercy again. God was angry. And the psalmist, you know, sometimes I think we just kind of feel like our sin just kind of displeases God, but he's this great big grandfather, benevolent grandfather in the sky who's just all. But folks, I want to tell you something. God is displeased with sin. He's angry at it. I know we're safe from wrath, but God is angry with our sin. And he was angry with their sin. And so he wants, and he knows that. He wants God to turn in mercy again. And his desire was for revival. And he says there, ask the question, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? God, you have done it before for your people. Have mercy on us and do it again. Now, I believe the word revival sometimes can create anxiety in the hearts of people. It's kind of like what are we gonna experience here? Is it gonna be spooky? Is it gonna be some kind of goofy behavior and some of the crazy stuff that goes on in the name of revival? You know, that does have the potential to make you suspicious. But the word revival simply means restored. It means refreshed. It means renewed. That's what it means. The writer's prayer is, God, please, restore, refresh, renew, revive us again. And I wonder, church, do we have the same desire for revival as the psalmist did? I believe we stay in a constant need of revival. And here are some areas in our life that are in need of revival or in need of renewal. I can't, of course, exhaust the subject, but I want to draw your attention to three of them tonight that could be an area in your life, my life, where we need renewal. Revive us again. Renew us again. Turn to Psalm chapter 51. Turn back a few pages to Psalm 51. And this will not be nothing. It won't be anything new to you. It'll all be things that you've heard before. Psalm chapter 51. And look with me down at verse number 10. David is praying here, his psalm of confession. And he says, in verse number 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, watch it now, and renew a right spirit within me. One area of our life that needs renewal from time to time is our spirit. David's prayer of confession included a request for a renewed spirit. Now, wait a minute. This is a reference to David's spirit, not the Holy Spirit. David asked God to renew a right spirit within him. And the fact that David was asking for God to renew his spirit means that David was in need of that. He knew that he had had a better spirit before, and he needed God to renew his spirit as he prayed in this chapter. And we know the time in David's life when he made this request to God. It was after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. The sins of adultery and murder, premeditated. Thought out adultery, premeditated, thought out murder. And obviously David's right spirit had been compromised by sin and his spirit was badly in need of renewal. We're very quick to ask God to forgive our sin, and we ought to be. But church, I wonder sometimes if we kind of overlook the fact that sin compromises our spirit. Does our spirit need to be renewed? You know what? If you've ever had a right spirit, you know when your spirit is not right. You know that. Some years ago, I asked a man in our church to help me put a deck on the front of my house. We put one on the back and we were going to put a small one on the front. And he said, sure, I'll help you. So he came out and the first thing we did was dig all the holes for the posts that would be the support for the deck, you know, that 4x4 posts. And so we dug the holes and got them ready, and we got the sacrete, and we got our level and our tamping instruments, and we put all those, began to put the post in and tamp it down with some dirt, and then put the sacrete in there and put some more dirt on top of it and put the level on it. We got down to the last two posts that needed to be set. They were the posts at the bottom of the steps, just like here, two steps from the deck down to my sidewalk. And Wayne said, preacher, he said, I got to go. He said, I've stayed as long as I can. I said, no problem. You go ahead and I'll set these last two posts. So I cleared out the holes again. I set the post in there, tamped some dirt around it, put some sacrete in, did some more dirt, put the level on it. Everything was set, put my tools away. It was all done. Next morning, got up, went to the church for a while, came home later on that afternoon, pulled down the lane and stopped at the sidewalk to look down at the deck. And when I did, that post on the right that I had set, it didn't look right. And so I went and got my 4-foot level and I put it on there, and it was, the bubble was just out of tolerance. Just out of tolerance. I thought to myself, nobody will ever notice that. And I was right, with the exception of one person, me. And every time I drove in my lane, I'd stop and look down the sidewalk, and that just ate my lunch. So finally, enough of that. I went and got my tools out of the shed. I brought it up there. I dug around the post. I dug it all out. I knocked the sacrete off. I redug the hole, got it all nice and clean. I put the post back in there, put some dirt in it, put some new sacrete around it, put some more dirt and tamped it all around, put that level on this side, that side, this side, that side, this side, that side, got it perfectly straight. I don't think I've stopped and looked at that post one time since then. But no, it's right. If you've ever had a right spirit, you know when your spirit is not right. David had previously had a right spirit. It had been compromised by his sin. It was David's spirit that influenced his thoughts and his emotions and his choices, and his spirit was not under the control of the Holy Spirit. And Satan used the temptation of the world to allure David into sin. He used the lust of David's eyes, the lust of David's flesh, and the pride of David's life to call for Bathsheba and then have her husband murdered. What a horrible compromise of his spirit. Not just sin against God, but his spirit. This is the man who penned the words in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. What happened to that spirit? That spirit had been compromised by his sin. And I wonder, church, was his spirit compromised by something as simple as not being where he was supposed to be? It was the time when the kings go forth to battle. David tarried still at Jerusalem. You remember the first time you skipped church for no good reason? Your spirit probably ate at you and bothered you. Did you try to justify it like David? I'm just saying, child of God, listen, do you realize you can sit in this church auditorium Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, be a part of everything going on around here with a compromised spirit? A compromised spirit. So you got to watch that. You know, in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, God said to the husbands twice, we're talking about their spirit toward their wife, take heed to your spirit. What's your spirit like to your spouse? How's your spirit towards your dad and mom? How's your spirit towards your church? How's your spirit towards your pastor? How's your spirit towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, I don't think that the church folk have to be best buddies with everybody in the church, but children of God ought to be able to walk by each other in a local church and look at each other in the eye and say, God bless you. Good to see you today. How's your spirit towards your brothers and sisters? Does your spirit need renewal? Renewal. David asked for forgiveness. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've opened my Bible on my knees and read Psalm 51 word for word as my prayer, asking God for the same things David asked for. You know, he asked for forgiveness. He asked for cleansing. He asked for washing and purging that would take care of his conscience, take care of his broken fellowship. But he included renewing for his spirit. His renewed spirit would be a return to that right spirit. Our spirit is an area in life that needs renewal. Every pastor has seen it. Something changes in a person. Where there was praise, now there's criticism. Where there was willingness, now there is reluctance. Where there was a smile, now there's a frown. Where there was a spirit of I get to, now there is a spirit of I have to. It's a spirit thing. I sat in the front row of our church auditorium for years, a man and his wife and their children. I mean for years. Involved in everything. I trained him how to be a bus captain when I first, he had just been saved. I trained him how to be a bus captain when I first went to Faith Baptist. He led our first Vision Unlimited program for our building. Just a great guy. Somewhere along the way, somebody in the church criticized one of their children. And it just ate him up. And it twisted his spirit. I mean, he was on soul winning. He was on his bus route. He was in the choir. He was everywhere he should be. Doing everything he should be doing. But his spirit was twisted. And I could see it. And I remember the Sunday night when I walked out and they weren't sitting on the front row. They're sitting about two-thirds of the way back. Now, if you're sitting two-thirds of the way back, I'm not suggesting you got a bad spirit. Somebody's got to sit in the back in a church like this, right? I mean, you got full. But that wasn't their MO. They were on the front row. I wondered, what in the world? And then it went from the two-thirds of the row of the auditorium back to the back. And then it went up to the balcony. And they just keep moving further and further away. And now they come out Wednesday night, their seats are empty. And then a couple Wednesday, you know, they're back for Wednesday nights. Another Wednesday night, their seats are empty again. And then on Sunday night, their seats are empty. And it's not long to the Sunday morning, their seats are empty. And then I get a text. I don't get a phone call. I don't get a visit. I don't get a face-to-face meeting. I get a text, Pastor, we're not going to be coming back to Faith Baptist anymore. We're attending another church in town now. Thank you for all you've done for us. And I introduced him to the lady that he married. Introduced him. Now, I've seen that brother, maybe three or four times since they left, several years ago now. I've seen him in Lowe's. I've seen him in Menards. Seen him in different stores around town. I always go up and hug his neck. I'm not going to carry an ugly spirit towards somebody that leaves the church. I don't think he's living in adultery. I know he's not. I don't think he's a gangbanger. Still works a good job. Faithful to his wife. What happened? It's a spirit problem. It was a spirit problem. And folks, it's so easy to go through all the motions externally and yet do it with a spirit that's compromised, that's twisted. How is your spirit? Is your spirit in need of renewal, a refreshing, a revival, a spirit of joy and a spirit of gladness and a spirit of praise and a spirit of thanksgiving? That's the kind of spirit that God's people need to have. And the truth of the matter is, we get in such a way sometime in our life, so twisted, we need God not only to forgive our sin, we need him to renew our spirit. Renew our spirit. So David prays for a renewal of his spirit. That's the one area. The second area, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look there with me quickly. Isaiah chapter 40. And again, nothing that you haven't heard already preached from this pulpit Isaiah chapter 40, that great verse at the end of chapter 40. I love these chapters in Isaiah, talking about the greatness of our God. And he says in verse number 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. That's not normal, folks. The young men shall utterly fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I love this great promise that God gave his people that he would renew their strength. Renew their strength. You know, over the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is getting ready to get the people ready to go into the promised land. He's not going in, but he's getting the people ready to go in. And he pulls all the tribes in chapter 33. He begins talking to each one of the tribes. And down in verse 25, he speaks to the tribe of Asher. And Moses says to the tribe of Asher, I love this, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now get the setting, folks. They are on the verge of going into the promised land. In the promised land, they're going to have battles. In the promised land, they're going to be defeated some. In the promised land, it's not going to be simple. They're going to have to overcome huge giants and enemies. And yet, right prior to their going into the promised land, God promised them that whatever challenges their days threw at them, their strength would be up to the challenge. God would see that they would have enough strength, not just physically, but spiritually, to do what they needed to do. And I'm glad that our strength, our spiritual strength, is an area that God can and will renew. You know, referring to the Antichrist, God said in Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, listen, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. The Antichrist will speak words against God Almighty, and he will also wear out the saints of the Most High. You said, Brother Terry, that's a reference to the Antichrist during the tribulation period. I know that, folks, but I also know from my Bible that the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the first century A.D. If the spirit of Antichrist was in the world in the first century A.D., you think it's any better or you think it's any less 20 years later, 20 centuries later? I think we're living in the days where the spirit of Antichrist is pretty strong. And that wearies God's people. His spirit is increasing in activity. I'm not saying this tonight to be a pessimist. I'm not saying this tonight to scare anybody. I'm just telling you that the spirit of the Antichrist is increasing in activity and in power in our world. And that kind of spirit, that activity wears out God's. I asked an evangelist who came to preach for us. I said, Brother, what are you seeing in our type churches across the country? He said, I really believe God's people are just worn out. Worn out. That's what he told me. Sin is wearying. And the Antichrist is called the man of sin. And don't kid yourself, church. This in-your-face aspect of sin today is wearying. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible talks about perilous times. In the last days, perilous times shall come. You know the definition of the word perilous? Reducing the strength. So don't tell me that, none of this bothers me. Oh, yes, it does. We understand that sin has always been in the world. Sodomy and all those sins go all the way back to the book of Genesis. But there's something about it today that's just in our face. And it can be weary. We're wearied by a corrupt government. Now we hope that'll change a little bit. But folks, come on. Even on the conservative side of the aisle, you got some pretty wicked people. We're wearied by this LGB crowd. Getting front page coverage. We're weary. You know what wearies me? What wearies me is what the kids who ride our buses to church have to listen to in the public school as low as first and second grade drag queen shows. You say, Brother Terry, doesn't that make you mad? Absolutely. But it also just... And the school shootings, it just... The awful emphasis on abortion... It wearies you. It just wearies you. Sometimes you wonder, you know, does it do any good? Does my dedication and my commitment and my faithfulness to Christ do any good? Look at all this. We have a governor that's trying to make our state the mecca of abortion. He and Gavin Newsom are in a neck and neck race. to see who could slaughter more babies. They slaughtered babies on the streets of Chicago during the Democratic National Convention. Made a big deal about it. And yes, it makes me mad, but it also, I was preaching down in Imperial, Missouri for Matt Waterhouse and his church, and I drove back home after the evening service and came up through Missouri there and then crossed over from St. Louis into the state of Illinois. And the first thing I saw when I crossed over the Mississippi River on the Illinois side of the river is this huge billboard, "Welcome to Illinois, where everybody is entitled to an abortion." I mean, it's just in your face. You remember when abortions used to be quiet? Remember when sodomites used to be in the closet? It was all there, folks. But now it's just in your face. We get wearied by the heart, by the robbing of our hard-earned money through taxation. And I could go on and on and on. You don't have to be an avid follower of the news to know all this is going on. It's in your face. Well, that type thing doesn't bother me. I'm sorry, but God said that the last days would be perilous. They would be strength-reducing days. God's people's strength would be reduced. That attitude of invincibility is not going to help you. That kind of thing wears down our strength. And age does not matter. It can be a child. It can be a teenage young person, young adults, married couples with young children, middle-aged people, seniors. It doesn't matter. That type of thing wears our strength down, reduces our strength. But I'm here to say tonight, church, that we have a book that tells us that our God in heaven will renew our strength if we wait upon Him. We can have strength to face our days. You know, I'm thankful for the young couples with the children here tonight. And I just want to say, young couples, sometimes I think, you know, we get into a preaching mode and we talk about all the stuff that's going on in the world like I just did. And young couples sit back and go, I had a man come to me during 2020, during COVID. A good man asked me, "Pastor, do you think my wife and I should have any more children?" And I know what he meant. He's a good man. I know what he meant. What's it going to be like? Can we get the job done? Here's the good news, church. Here's the good news, young couples with small children. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You can have a good marriage and you can rear godly children because God can and will renew your strength if you'll just wait upon Him. You love the song, "Because He Lives, How Sweet to Hold a Newborn Baby and Feel the Pride and Joy He Gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. He lives to restore our strength." It would be a good thing to ask God for a renewal of strength. Are you operating on fumes? I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm not talking about physical strength to go to work and do all that you do. I'm talking about spiritual strength. Renewed strength for us to be what God wants us to be in this critical day and hour. It's not the day to be giving up on living for God and serving God. It's not the day to let up on your Sunday school class or your bus route or your family or the church, whatever, the church choir, whatever ministry God has you in. It's not the day to let up, folks. It's the time for renewed strength. We need God to renew our strength. Your pastor came to preach for us that revival meeting that he and I have talked about a couple times. And on Sunday morning, it was really the only service that he was a little bit transparent with the church about his battle with cancer. And I remember you preached on the hands of God. When I first met your pastor at Cedar River, I can tell you three of the sermons he preached that week at camp. I believe it was that week at camp. You preached on the dry bones. And you preached on deceiving yourselves and told the story about sticking your tongue on the pole, right? And you preached a message on the second coming. In a morning service at teen camp, and I sat back in the back and I thought, oh my goodness, the second coming to a group of teenagers? But he role played that thing out. He had the kids were eating out the palm of his. When you can remember messages that a man preaches 30 years ago, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When he goes out, God uses it. And he came to our church and he preached on the hands of God, and we didn't have a push for visitors. In fact, we had our bus ministry on Saturday. We had everybody in the auditorium that day. I want everybody there to hear your pastor for our revival. And he preached on the hands of God. And so he gave the invitation. There was a decent turnout at the altar of God's people. The hearts were moved. Nobody came forward to be saved. And he turned it over to me, and I approached, I don't know if you remember this or not, I approached the pulpit, and I saw 82-year-old Dolores Redmond step out of the back row and come down the aisle, tears coming down her face. I thought, what in this world? Brother Allen met her here. I just gave the motion to the pianist to keep playing, and Brother Allen met with her and talked with her. And pretty soon, I saw him call for the baptistry lady, and I thought, what is going on? What's happened? And Brother Allen turned around and he said, Preacher, Dolores is going to get baptized this morning. I talked to her and she needs to, and she's going to get baptized. Well, so we baptized 82-year-old Dolores Redmond. After the service, I went back to the back of the auditorium where her daughter and son-in-law sit. I said, Jeannie, what's going on? She said, I have no idea. I looked at Leslie, her granddaughter sits back there. I said, Leslie, what's happening? She said, I have no idea. I said, well, I'm not leaving until I find out. And it took a while, because when you're 82, you got to get your hair just right after you get baptized, right? And so it took a little while, you know. Finally, Dolores showed up, and I said, Dolores, what is going on? And she said, Pastor, when I was 6 or 7 years of age, I made a profession of faith, and I was baptized. But I didn't get saved. She said, I went to camp when I was 14 years of age, and I got saved. But by that time, I had developed a fear of water. And I didn't get baptized. I just always told people that I was saved as a child and baptized. So many Sundays I've sat in church services, God prompting my heart to get baptized. And I've just been reluctant to do it. She said, I almost called you this week and asked if you had ever preached a message on the hands of God. I said, well, Dolores, I did. I preached on the life of Christ one time, a series of messages. Talked about the mind of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the ears of Christ, the hands of Christ. That's before you came. She said, when Brother Ross preached this morning and talked about his battle with cancer and talked about the hands of God strengthening and enabling and helping, she said, I knew that I had to step out and be obedient to Christ. An 82-year-old woman stepped out and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. You know what, folks? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. God will see to it that our strength is up to whatever challenge this world throws at us. Young couples, you don't have to despair. You don't have to throw your hands up and say, oh my gracious, what am I going to do living in this sick, sinful world? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get on your knees and ask God to renew your strength. And renew your strength to have a solid marriage and to rear a solid family and to be used for God at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Brother Clanny's church. Our strength needs to be renewed, church. These are strength-reducing days, whether you know it or not. It's very easy to get dehydrated and never know it. You know, Bill Graham told me, he said, Brother Terry, a person that gets dehydrated, it takes 8 days to rehydrate. Completely. And I want to tell you something, church. Just by osmosis, our strength is being reduced as we live in these days. It would be very good for you and me very often when we pray to ask God, renew my strength. Renew my spirit. Renew my strength. The third area, Lamentations chapter 5, and I'll be done. Lamentations chapter 5. You know the book of Lamentations? It's Jeremiah's lament over the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. He says in verse 16, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. And it had fallen. But I love what he asked for in verse number 21, chapter 5, verse 21. Next to last verse in the entire book of Lamentations, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Renew our days as of old. Our spirit needs to be renewed, our strength needs to be renewed, and our space of time needs to be renewed. Jeremiah was living in a day, he was living in a space of time, and he asked God for a renewal, renew our days as of old. Now wait a minute, church, he's not asking for God to take them back to old days, in time, take them back in time to old days. He is asking God to bring the spirit and the power and the glory of the old days and put it on his days. Renew my days, our days. Renew today as days of old. The old days is a reference to the days when Israel was right with God. God was pleased with Israel. The days when God was worshiped and false gods were banned. The days when sin and wrong was not accepted as the norm. The days when their hearts burned with love for the Lord God Almighty. The days when they had clean hands and pure hearts and ascended the hill into God's presence. God, bring the spirit and power and glory of those days and put it on our days. People, we don't need to go back to the days or the ways of the Great Awakening. We can't do that. We can't go back to the spirit of the, we can't go back to the days and the ways of the Fulton Street Revival or even the late 60s and 70s. And I don't know if you were in church during that those years, but God, there was a move of God in the 60s and 70s that you can't deny. There's a ton of preachers preaching today, fervently preaching, who were saved in the 70s. You couldn't build Christian schools fast enough. Young people going off to Bible college. I mean, busloads of people would travel an hour, hour and a half to go to a conference. And it was common. Buildings were filled. It was amazing. There was a move of God. And what we need sometimes, I think we have to be careful that we preach, that we don't preach in such a way that we make it sound like those days, the spirit of those days, the glory of those days, the power of those days can never be experienced again. And some young preachers think, well, I missed the 60s and the 70s. I guess I'll never see God work. Oh, no, 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 no. No. God is able. He's willing to take the glory and the power and the spirit of those days and put it on our days. Just got to find the people that want it. Got to find the people that desire it. We need the same spirit that permeated the Fulton Street prayer meetings and the Great Awakening and the 60s and the 70s. We need the willingness to live holy unto God and apart from the world, a deep commitment to God and His book, a spirit of enthusiasm about God and His work. I think in the minds of some, it's like we need to get a tent and cover the ground with sawdust and run across the platform and slide and preach like Billy Sunday did, and all the bars will close. That would be great. But if it's going to take that to make you happy, you may be disappointed, but I'm here to tell you tonight, church, I'm here to tell you guys, I'm not preaching to a crowd who doesn't know this. You know. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You have seen God bring the glory and the power and the spirit of days of old and put it on your days. You just saw it a few weeks ago. That day with Brother Ron Comfort, the aisles are flooded with lost people. I'll tell you something, God hasn't closed up shop. He hasn't locked the door of heaven and said it's over. God is still working. God's still looking for a people who want their days to be blessed and renewed with the spirit of the old days. Some time ago, we had Brother Allen came in with a fall program, And he had it all laid out, and it was competition between the Sunday school classes, and I'm all for that. But God had been working on my heart that our church just needed to seek Him and His power and work and strive together, not be in competition. I'm not against the competition. I said, Alan, put that fall program in your file. We'll use it down the road. And we did. But I shared my burden with him about prayer. And about not having several weeks, one day where we just saturated that day with prayer and begged God for His power. He put together a great program, great program. We had prayer partners. You called your prayer partner every day for 30 days, just for 5 minutes, prayed over targeted prayer requests. It wasn't, oh, God bless us today. No, no, no. God, we want visitors, and would you please send people who are searching for truth, and would you please work in hearts and see souls? We had those kind of prayer requests. For 30 days, we had cottage prayer meetings on Saturday night. I know that scares some people. It did me. No food, no time of eating or anything. Come in, men and boys, women and ladies and girls. And here we pray together 15, 20 minutes at a cottage prayer meeting Saturday nights. He got, ladies, you know those little pipe cleaner things? Okay, little twisty things. An electrical cord has a green wire, a red, a white wire, and a black wire. A power cord. We got enough white, green, and black pipe cleaners to bind them together. We passed out hundreds of them. People put them on their steering wheels, on their refrigerator doors. And every time they saw those little black, white, and green pipe cleaners twisted together, it was a reminder to pray and ask God's power and blessing. We put out sheets for signing up for fasting every meal, breakfast, lunch, and supper, every meal for 30 days. At least one person or one family in our church was fasting for 30 days. The day came, the downstairs was filled, the balcony was filled. I think we had 25 adult visitors in the building. I preached a very simple message on Felix in the book of Acts. He said, when it's a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. About 10 minutes into that message, we had another visitor. He was invisible. But when he came in, it got so still. There's a dead quiet and there's a still quiet. I like still quiet. And you could just see God was working. I gave the invitation. I think there were probably 15, 18 hands that went up. I'm not sure that I'm saved. We started the invitation. I mean, the balcony, the main floor, we started the invitation. And about 10 seconds, nobody moved. And I was, oh God, please. And then somebody came. And then another preacher, they came, like you said, on your special day. They came, they didn't come just down, they came, the tears coming down their cheeks. Broken. 10 adults and a teenager were saved that morning in our service. You've seen that here. Oh, church, keep after it. But it's going to take a renewal of our space of time. We can't do it on our own. All the gimmicks, and I'm not against promotions, and all the brochures, all this stuff, it's all great. All the technology is wonderful. It's helpful. But that's not going to get the job done. It takes His power and His Spirit. Sometimes it's not 10, sometimes it's 1. And Terry and Denise Fleischman visited our church a year ago, December, at our Christmas program. I got to tell you, Christmas programs through the years, we've not seen tons of people saved. Well, I think Brady Mixon was about to. And then they came back along about springtime and sat in the service and we visited. And Terry was saved, gave a good testimony, but Denise was lost. She sat through a morning service and sat like this just during the invitation. She just stared at me. I said, are you lost? She shook her head. I said, do you need to be saved? I said, come and be saved. She just sat there. Sat through the whole invitation. She wouldn't move. I saw her. She came out the door. I saw her in the hallway. I said, Denise, God working on your heart? Yes. Why didn't you come forward? I'm coming back in 2 weeks to get saved. I said, you don't know that you'll be alive in 2 weeks. How do you know that? I said, let me have somebody right now sit down and show you how to be saved. I'm coming back in 2 weeks, Pastor. I said, let me have somebody come to your house this afternoon. I'm coming back in 2 weeks. It so grieved my soul. I don't often do this, but I went to the pulpit Sunday night and called her name. I said, church family, we got to pray for this lady. She's under conviction. She could come back in 2 weeks. We don't even know if she'll be alive in 2 weeks. The next Sunday, she was in church. And she sat in the same row and sat. I know you've heard the stories, and I have too, but this time I saw it. I saw her hands on the pew in front of her like this. And we got to invitation time. I said, do you need to be saved? Are you lost? Yes. Do you need to be saved? Yes. Come on. I mean, out the seat and down the aisle on her knees and trusted Christ and was baptized. And the church rejoiced. I don't care if it's 26 or 10 or 1. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. It's been so encouraging to my heart, to be in a church that God's still working in and working through. Don't ever get tired of begging God for His power and begging God for a visitation of His Spirit and begging God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your life personally, on your pastor as he preaches, because he's not done. God's not done. What do we need, Brother Terry? A fancier brochure? Faster live stream? No, I'll tell you what we need. We need our space of days renewed as of old. We need our spirit renewed. We need our strength renewed. And we need our space of time renewed. Wilt thou not revive us again?